Welcome to Contagious Conversations,
where automotive industry leaders dig below the surface and discover what it takes to shift the culture and perception of automotive retail.
Let's get into the conversation. Today, we are excited to have with us Glenn Lundy, CEO of the 800% Elite Automotive Club, host of the Rising Grind Morning Show, and the creator and host of Breakfast with Champions on Clubhouse.
So, man, I am hanging out with Glenn. He has his big smile on today. And I, first of all, I'm just so appreciative that we get to hang out, spend a few minutes together and jam about this really cool industry that we both find ourselves in and have found ourselves in for years. So real quick backstory, and then we'll get in. But I meet Glenn Lundy. I'm watching Paul Daly's Automotive State of the Union last year. And I'm sitting at home wishing I'm in Philly, right? And he's up there just saying some stuff. And I'm like, whoa, this guy, I'm jiving with everything that he's putting down. I don't hang out with Paul, with you for like 6 months. And a guy named Micah Burkholz like has this picture of himself holding up a Rise and Grind planner on Instagram. I'm like, Rise and Grind, what is it? I type that in. I'm like, wait a second. This guy, Glenn Lundy, he's doing this Rise and Grind thing. He's doing automotive State of the Union. He's doing all these crazy cool things that mesh with a lot of the things that I believe. And then like a few months later, this crazy app Clubhouse, which if you don't know Glenn is like the Clubhouse Breakfast with Champions guy. Like he does it all. It's crazy. But we're on there and he says this thing, which I wanted, which is why I initially reached out to him about the podcast. And he says, man, I have this crazy dream that when my kids grow up, that they don't just like happen to want to come into automotive because daddy's in automotive. They don't just want to be in automotive or go somewhere else, but they're like, this automotive thing is actually for me, could be for me. So Glenn, I want to just hear from you. Like where did that passion start to stir up? When did that particular thing in you start to, cause you've been in automotive how long?
23 years now. Yeah. Holy 23 cow. Years, man.
Yeah. And I know your story, you know, obviously a lot of people maybe listen and know a little bit of your story, but like, where did that stir up? Where did that passion, that heart for, you know, not just like making people do big numbers and doing crazy cool things, but that it's a culture that people desire.
Well, you know, what's cool about the automotive industry is it's no down payment. Like one day I'm going to do a documentary. It's going to be called No Down Payment because you don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have two nickels to rub together. You don't have to have a good criminal background check in a lot of cases. And you can get into the automotive industry. Now that's changing just a little bit, but you know, I got into the industry with none of those things. I had made plenty of bad decisions, and the auto industry welcomed me with open arms and gave me an opportunity to lean into my gifts, my talents, my skill sets, and ultimately create a life now that's it's amazing. And as I travel and speak with dealers and salespeople and sales managers and finance managers and all of those things, there's just story after story after story of people who had the doors shut on them for whatever reason. They come to automotive, the doors are opened, and they step into their greatness. And they end up, you know, they step into their greatness and then they end up getting married. Sorry. I told you I wouldn't do this. Hold up.
No, it's fine. So good.
Then they end up, you know, they're getting married, they're taking care of their kids, they're making good decisions, they're staying off the drugs, like all of these things, right? And so as I experienced automotive, and then I started looking at some people of the generation before me, and these people that are in the generation before me that were told, you know, go to school, go to college, get a degree, get a job, work till you're 65, retire, those types of things. Get something secure. Commissions are bad. Get a secure job, right? And then you see these people getting laid off at 56 years old and nothing. Mm. Or Enron takes all their retirement money and they got nothing. Or even they put in the 40 years and they get, you know, the proverbial gold watch. And then they're living the rest of their life off $1,300 a month in Social Security, which we see in this business every single day. People come in to apply for a vehicle, they get $1,300 a month in Social Security or $1,700 a month, and they're like 80 years old. And I'm like, dude, that's so crazy. And these are people that fought for our country. These are people that were airline pilots, police officers, firefighters, all these jobs that are, you know, when we're kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, I want to be a firefighter. Yeah, you should be a firefighter. Like, we encourage them to live a life making $45,000 a year where they're going to be broke when they're old. Mm. And the car business is not that, but yet it's got such a bad rep. So yeah, I want my kids to understand what hard work looks like, which the car business teaches you, what putting in long hours looks like, which the car business teaches you, how to build relationships with people really, really, really quickly, which the car business teaches you, how to manage emotions, right? You can't be flying off the handle in the car business all the time. Right. Oh, don't worry. You'll get beat up. You'll get fired. You'll get sued. Something will happen. I promise, right? So it teaches like emotional intelligence, work ethic, relationship building, and you have an opportunity to make incredible money if you apply yourself in this business. It's absolutely incredible. So I, for my kids anyway, I will paint a picture for them where, you know, like when you see pilots, what was that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio? And like the pilots are, you know, you can't catch me. Catch me if you can.
Catch me if you can. Yeah.
And the pilots are walking through and they got the flight attendants and everybody's like, oh my gosh, it's a pilot. Like, that's how people should be about the good car guys, not the bad car guys.
Right.
But the good car guys, people should be like, son, daughter, when you grow up, that's what you should do. And I think our business has really changed a lot and it's headed in that direction. More and more stores are creating great cultures and understand what it means to serve people. And, you know, the industry's come a long way. And so I'm proud to be in the car business and I would be proud to get any of my kids in it as well.
Yeah, I think you're right that the tides are turning, right? I mean, whether it be like people like ourselves, incredible people out there that are saying, hey, this culture shift, this decision to show this as a piece of our industry, to not just like know it internally. Cause I think there's a ton of us that have come up in the industry that go, well, yeah, why wouldn't someone want to be a part of this? Right. Because yeah. Look what it's done for you. It's done incredible things for myself and my family that I would have never imagined. And I think there's some level of it that it's a little bit insulated, where it's just kind of a knowledge between, like you said, like the good ones, but sharing that story out, getting it out there and sharing with our kids, sharing with the person that works at Best Buy, the person that works across the street, that this is a good, the person at college, that this is a good place to be a part of is a big deal. But I guess my question there is, like you said, that there is a chunk of already like the good car people, right? And then there's the ones that are going, look at those good car people. We're headed that way too. And they're probably bringing people like you in-house and things like that. Right. But
sure.
Then there's still a large mass that it's like turning the Titanic. It feels like in some points. Right. So what are you doing, or what do you see as like the most critical things to turn the rudders, to pull the levers, to begin to like turn the tide for some of the mass that is still, you know, potentially not coming along with that culture shift?
Yeah, I think it's two sides, man. So, you know, media, as far as the overall sentiment of the industry, and the better shake it gets, the more dealers that will get on board with that better shake. So if you look at media right now, Backdraft, the hero firefighters, right? Any story with an airplane in it, the pilot's the hero, right? The terrorist is trying to take it down and the pilot's a hero. Like, media has painted police officers, pilots, firefighters as heroes. Now let's think about any car business movie. Suckers, nice. Right, is the name of one of them, right? Every car business movie, even this new Cobra Kai thing with with
Danny. Son, yeah,
from the Karate Kid, right? Even there, he's a car dealer and he's a little bit shifty and a little bit seedy and a little bit shady, right? So the media keeps painting this picture of a shady industry. People like Vroom, I think it is, that's doing these commercials where we're just like hooking people up with freaking battery cables and shocking them to death, right? Like, and we're not doing anything on our side against that. We in automotive should be the ones telling the story, not the person on the outside that knows nothing about automotive. We have to share our stories more from automotive people, more stages, more platforms, more movies, more films, documentaries. We need to create our own media on the outside. And so I think that would solve two things. One, we can get the consumer element and change the sentiment there. But then two, more dealers go, oh, I don't. Okay, wait, like I can be a good guy and win in this business, and people actually like the good guy and they buy more cars from the good guy and they're spending more time with the good guy. I don't have to be shady. I don't have to sell 40 cars a month and try to high gross every single person that I'm, you know, that I'm selling. Like there's a different way. And so our industry is so slow and so archaic, bro, because there's no visibility. And a lot of these dealers right now are second and third generation owners. Car dealerships are incredible wealth builders for the next generation. So they're second and third generation owners, and they grew up in that store, in that town, with those people doing things a certain way, and they don't really have any exposure to the outside. You can go to an event, you can go to a conference, you can go to whatever, but unless it becomes part of the day-to-day narrative, yeah, it's going to be like turning the Titanic, man. Now, I do see a lot more of the dealers that aren't getting with the picture are starting to get bought up. They're starting to get eradicated, right?
Yeah.
Because these bigger groups, corporations, companies, organizations, bigger dealers that do get it are winning so much in this market right now. And they're going in and they're buying these little stores, right? Little store. So I think we're way further ahead than it might feel like sometimes. From what I see, just in experience going all around the country, I think we're further ahead, but now we just need that X factor to come over the top and really tell the story the way that it really is, not the story that's been told for the last, 50 years in the media.
Yeah. I know a good friend of yours and mine, Paul Daly, he would be like in the background, like, yeah, tell the story, do the brand, right? He's all excited about it.
And when I
right?
talked a couple times about putting together a documentary, we're just both so busy, but one day we need to make that happen for sure.
I know, right? It is telling a better story. That's absolutely true. So you've kind of done that a little bit, right? Well, maybe a lot of it, right? You started this podcast, in 2018? Yeah. To tell a better story first locally, because that was your desire at first, right? You started this rising grind thing. 100%. It was like, locally, if I can change a few people's lives, if I can tell a better story for the dealership. So right. Tell me about like getting that started. What was the excitement and the impetus behind that?
Yeah, man. Motivation, education, inspiration, right? No one else is doing it. So it was just a great opportunity to take what had happened. So I was running this dealership in Paris, Kentucky, tiny town, only population 9,600 people. We grew that dealership 800%. And the way that we grew it 800% was really pouring into our people, being good people, good in our community, good for our employees, creating great work environments, creating room and space for people to have lives outside of the dealership, basically doing 180 degree opposite of what I did the first 8 years that I was in the business. Which in the first 8 years, it was get your teeth kicked in every single day, work every day from open to close, including on Sundays, and miss every single sporting event of all of your children, spend all of your money on whatever, because your boss is going, spend it, bro. I like broke salespeople. Broke salespeople are hungry, right? Like all of these things. So we were like, wait, let's do the opposite. Let's give people a life outside of work. Let's teach them financial responsibility so they can actually build a life for themselves outside of this building. I don't want them destitute, begging for another car deal. No, I want them flourishing and abundant and loyal to serving my people, right? Like that's what I want. So we just flipped everything 180 degrees. And once we saw the results of that, the lives that were impacted, the growth of the dealership, so on and so forth, it was like, Glenn, you would be doing the world a disservice if you keep this right here in this town of 9,600 people. We have to take this mindset, these strategies, these processes, and use them to impact as many people as possible. And it started as just kind of a, like, let's make more of an impact in the industry. And then it became the principles that apply to people in the industry apply to people out of the industry. And
right,
it's just grown and expanded and compounded. And every word that you can, you know, that you can use with going from here to here.
Yeah.
For those of you that are listening, I said from here, like 2 inches to like here, like my, you know, the head to toe. And so that's kind of where it started. That's kind of where it's gone, and where it goes from here, I don't know. I just know that we've made a ripple effect all around the world, just simply by creating a space of motivation, education, inspiration. And it's been a wild ride.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So pull it back. Maybe just if there's someone listening, because I think there's probably a few camps in automotive. You've got the people that are running dealerships, that are owners or running software companies that can make an impact because of their status or their position or their title. Right. And then there's the people that are maybe listening that are going, I'm the new salesperson, or I'm the, you know, I'm the new person at the vendor, or I'm the new account rep, whatever it may be. Like, what is the encouragement exactly the same, or is there a nuance to those two people in how to be a part of this shifting tide, this change, this great industry and moving it forward and taking it to the next level? What's the encouragement for both of those types of people?
Yeah. So first you got to take off the words, I'm just a, let's just start there. I'm just a, it's a limited mindset. It's a limiting belief, and you'll never be able to reach the levels of potential for yourself when you go, I'm just a. Change those words to I'm the best blank, whatever it is, right? I was a salesperson on January 11th of 2011 when I started at Dan Cummins Chevrolet and Buick in Paris, Kentucky. I was a salesperson, and I went in saying, I am the guy that's going to disrupt this auto industry. I am the guy who experienced the negative side of the auto industry, and now I am going to disrupt it. And so I applied for a management position. They didn't have one of those, but that didn't matter, because all that mattered is I am going to disrupt the auto industry and make it better. That's it. That's all that mattered. So if I have to do that as a detailer, if I have to do that as a service industry, like a service writer, if I have to do that as a receptionist, doesn't matter. I am going to ultimately disrupt the industry. And so I started in sales. 4 months later, sales manager. About a year after that, general sales manager. And then about a year after that, GM of the dealership. And that's because I had that mindset of the GM, the disruptor, the change provider from day one. And I got so much grief, Kyle. Like, dude, I was in Podunk, backwoods Kentucky, tiny little town, population 9,600. I show up in a shirt and tie and a suit, and these good old boys in their Carhartts and their little hiking boots, and they're looking at me like, who the heck does this guy think he is? I had one guy take me to the side and say, boy, you wear that tie in here one more time, I'm gonna hang you with it, right? And he was serious at the time, joking, but serious. Right, right. Him and I became good friends later. And now, you know, and we created a culture where everybody, it's either collared shirt and tie or Dan Cummins, nice polo during the summer. And so I took the flack, and you can too. When you are disruptive, when you act big, people will try to make you small. And so if you know the finish line, then the rest doesn't matter. It's when you don't know the finish line, that's when you start to allow excuses to get in the way. You start to allow other people to get in your way. You carry yourself in a certain way where you feel like you're a victim versus a victor. And you'll see this across the industry. Every industry giant that I know, they from day one knew not the destination as far as where they're going to work, not the destination as far as any of that. They just knew they were going to be the best and they were going to make an impact. They knew that was the end. And so all the rest gets easy. You know, Alex Flores, he's known from the minute he stepped foot into the car business that he was going to be the best. Brad Wise, same thing. He's going to be the best. That's just, he can't think any other way. And it shows now in their results as their career continues to expand and grow and thrive and flourish. Liza Myers-Borchus with the Carter Meyer Automotive Group, exact same way. She's like, I am the best dealer in the world. And she's felt like that since she was cleaning cars in detail at her dad's store at 14 years old, you know? Yeah. So that's what I would say is get rid of those words. I'm just and replace them with I am where you're going. And you'll notice a difference quickly, I bet.
Yeah, I love that. I like to say, like, we all need we, right? It doesn't matter who you are, what position you are, whether you've been in the car business a day or 30 years, like we all need we. We doesn't happen without you. Whoever you are listening, whether it's Glenn or myself or anyone, we is better together. And so as we push forward, no matter what position you hold, title you hold, time you've been in the car business, if this type of message, if this type of way of doing business resonates with you, then it's up to you. Like, it's on your shoulders just as much as it is on ours on a podcast, right? And I love that encourage of like, rip away those limiting words from your vocabulary. Because those words will end up limiting you, not just limiting your ability to communicate. So no, I absolutely love that. What's that?
I said, no doubt. No 100%, doubt. Man, your words have so much energy, so much power. I've even learned more about that in the last year and a half. There's a book called The Liberty of Our Language Revealed. The Liberty of Our Language Revealed. Incredible read, incredible book, incredible author. I got to interview him on Rise and Grind. And dude, our words, like, now I analyze every single sentence that comes out of my mouth because I now understand how powerful they are in creating our destiny. So be cautious what you say. Don't limit yourself. You have the ability to create whatever level of success you believe you are worth. So believe big, shoot for the moon, you know?
Yeah, that's good. So I'm going to go like one level deeper in your passion, because I feel like you're passionate about automotive, right? But like, you are super hyper passionate about the way that people start their day. Am I wrong? Right?
It's everything, man. It's everything.
Yeah, it's everything. Just from my perspective, I had never... let's go back like three or four years ago. The start of my day was like, it was just, I hope I trip over myself and I hope I get to work on time. Right.
Right.
And it was before, BG, before Glenn, that I learned from a great man named Chuck Gashwin, that starting my day was so important. So it was silence and solitude. It was encouragement from a book by a guy named Richard Lovelace about you're accepted, you're loved, you're seen by the God of the universe, and that he loves you. He came to you, right? And so that's the way that I began to start my day, no phone. But you've got those five things. And I think a lot of people in automotive have maybe heard of that, but there's some people that are listening that I'd love for you to encourage them, if you don't mind, with what those five things are and how you not just like do those things, right? Because we can check boxes a lot, but how do you do those things that then change the way that you start your day and that you continue your day?
Yeah, here's what I'm gonna do for you, Kyle, real quick. Because I'm just gonna paint a picture so that everyone can understand this. Because this is not just personal. This is also in your businesses. Whenever I start working with a dealership, the very first thing I look at is, how does the dealership start its day? How does the business start its day? Is a bunch of people trudging in at the last minute? Maybe you have a meeting, maybe you don't have a meeting. Even if you have a meeting, you're the last one in the room because you think you're freaking cooler than everybody else. Like, I look at all of those things. How is the store run first thing? Is everybody showing up to work just in time to get their order in for breakfast so that they can all leave work and go get breakfast and then sit down and eat? And, you know, is everyone showing up at 8:30, but work doesn't actually start till 11, right? Like, I look at all of these things, because how we start our day is so incredibly important. So what I want to do, Kyle, is just paint a really quick picture. There's this book, you may have heard of it. It's called The Three Little Pigs. You ever heard of that? You ever
just heard a that couple story? Times. Yes. I love just it. A
couple times, right? So you got the three little pigs and you've got the big bad wolf is coming and he's been harassing people all over the place. And so the three little pigs, that you got one that they need to build like shelters. And so the first little pig's like, I'm just going to build this sucker out of straw real quick because there's a concert I want to go to tonight. And so I'm gonna throw it together. And so he throws this together out of straw. And he takes off to go party, right? And then the second one's like, I'm gonna make mine out of wood, a little bit stronger. That one out of straw looks pretty weak over there. So I'm gonna make mine out of wood. I'll be a little late to the party, but I'm still gonna show up to the party a little bit later, right? And so he builds his out of wood and he goes. The third little pig is like, okay, those are not gonna work. I'm gonna build this sucker out of brick. And what that means is I'm probably gonna have to miss the party. I'm going to miss the concert. I'm not going to get to go to that. But what I am going to do is I'm going to learn how to lay a brick better than anybody's ever laid a brick. And so the third little pig like does some research, does his homework, figures out how to spin the cement, right? Figures out the structures and the beams and how to make this thing super, super strong. And he lays brick after brick after brick, blood, sweat, tears, no sleep, nothing, right? And he builds this house out of brick. And then, as you know, Kyle, the big bad wolf shows up, right? And he shows up at the house made out of straw and he says, open it up. And the pig's like, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin, right? And you're like, and he's like, but I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow the doors down, right? And he does, he huffs and he puffs and he blows the house down and the pig goes running, right? He's freaked out, he's scared. And then he goes to the next house that's made out of wood. He says, knock, 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 let me in. And the pig says, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And then he says, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow the house down. And he does. He huffs and he puffs and he blows the house down. And the second little pig goes, takes off running. Then the wolf shows up at this house made out of brick. You know, he's looking at this thing like, golly, but he still thinks he's bad. He thinks he can knock this thing down. So he knocks and he's like, bro, let me in. And the pig's just like, nope, not happening. I ain't letting you in. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin, right? With confidence. And so now this wolf huffs and he puffs and he huffs and he puffs and he huffs and he puffs and he can't blow the house down. And so he takes off defeated and deflated and hungry and all of those things, right? And that's how the story ends. We've all heard that story. What a lot of people miss though, what a lot of people miss is that on the last page of the book, if you look, the one pig that built his house out of bricks, his two brothers are in the house with him. They ran from the straw house. They ran from the wood house. And so the reason I share this story with people, because a lot of people don't understand how important it is that your foundation, that you take the time. You might have to miss going out. You might have to miss going to the club the night before. You might have to miss the concert. You might have to go to bed a little bit early. You starting your day with a solid foundation of education, right? Educating yourself. Spiritual connection, like what Kyle's talking about, reflection, right? Taking that time to build that solid, solid foundation so that whatever comes at you all day, whatever storms try to blow you down, they're not going to be able to blow you down. You doing that is not for you. It's so that you can help protect the ones that you love that aren't willing to put in the work. That aren't willing. They're just going to dip their toe. They're going to build houses out of straw. They're going to build houses out of wood. You have the responsibility to slow down, take your time, figure it out every single day, how you can be a solid rock. If you want to be a leader, if you want to achieve high levels of success, if you want to achieve greatness, change the way you start your day so you can start building brick houses. And I promise you, you'll never be alone, as there will be so many people that will go under your umbrella that you can then lead, guide, and make an impact in their lives. So that's why it's so important that you change the way you start your day. And I hope that helps people see it in a little bit unique perspective.
Yeah, I think like when I first tell people, this is what I do when I'm training our people and maybe they're struggling and trying to figure out how to maybe get to work on time or produce more or do more. It's like, start working with them on like, what does your day look like? What's your start to your day look like? How do we back that up a little bit to make sure that you care for the time? And initially it's like, well, I could never do that. That's not going to help me in any way. Right. But then when we start to zoom out, right. I had this conversation with a guy a few weeks ago. It was like, we were zooming out and I was like, well, look how, if you start your day this way, look how just even starting your day changes the way that your family gets the opportunity to start their day, because you're prepared to care for them well and the things that you need to care for them well in. And then you get to keep caring for your family because you're coming to work ready to go, right? And so I think that, man, zooming out and going, wow, this thing is bigger than just me, right?
Way bigger.
We all, it's like a me culture. It's like, wow, what you do for you actually impacts others sometimes more than you. And that's when it becomes really powerful and it starts to become palpable by others. And you get the opportunity to change lives and lead others, no matter what position you're in, no matter, again, like you said, no matter what title you have, anything like that everybody's a leader. Could be, because I say this all the time, we're the most influential people in our own lives, right? Doesn't matter. Yeah. There's other influential people in your life. You are the most influential person in your life. So, which means by default, you're a leader. By default, you're leading something, which means you're leading yourself. Right. So if you have the capacity to change the way you lead yourself, you're going to change the way that others have the capacity to follow you by the leadership that you exude in your life. So I love that. I'm resonating. I'm like fired up. We're going to go another 30 minutes and just keep chopping it up. Right. Because that gets me all jazzed. Right. That's what changes.
You're spot on, man. Especially women. I notice a lot of women they're like, yeah, but I got to get up. I got to take care of the kids. I got to do this. I got to I find a lot of women won't take that time for themselves because they just have this servant nature, this servant heart. And so when we're able to talk to them and help them to understand that it's not about you, like you have to do this for them, then that's a shift. You know, there's a study that they showed that most people that get antibiotics, right, only like 30% of people will actually finish their antibiotics, right? Take one every 6 hours for 10 days or whatever. And people end up with these jars with little antibiotics left on them, because as soon as they start to feel better on day four, day five, day six, then they miss one, then they miss another one. And oh, it's okay. I feel good. They never really finish the prescription. But on the opposite side of that, if a veterinarian gives your dog, your pet, an antibiotic subscription, 98% of people will finish that entire thing because they're doing it for someone else. Self will only take 30%. Someone else, 98% of the time, will complete. So shifting that mindset paradigm to, this is not a selfish act, this is an impactful act on others, is really how you get that stimulated and get rocking and rolling on those morning routines.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So I'm going to do so. You might hate me for this in just a second, but I'm never going to do this again on a podcast. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'll hold my hand up in the air. I'm not going to steal from Glenn any other time than right now. Cause I've been listening to Breakfast with Champions, listening to Rise and Grind in the morning. Right. And I'm like, every Friday you do the interview and I'm like, oh man, Glenn gets, what is it, 2.5 hours a week to hang out and chat with us and tell us all the things he wants to download. And then he makes every single person on Friday give us 2 minutes if they're on a mountaintop.
Right.
And so I'm going to flip it. I don't know maybe everybody does this, but I'm going to flip it to you. And I want to do what you get the opportunity to do to those people that you have on your podcast and put you up on a mountaintop. Everybody, you know the script. Everybody's yelling, Glenn, Glenn, Glenn. And you have 2 minutes. I swear I'm never doing this on a podcast again, but for you, I'm doing it.
But you can do have every podcast if you want.
But yeah, but you, Glenn, have 2 minutes to tell all of civilization, to impart on them the words of wisdom that you feel compelled to share with them in that moment up on that mountaintop with the loudspeakers booming. What do you share?
Yeah, man. So I would start off right at the gate and just be like, you take yourself wherever you go. And then everyone would kind of look around like, what is he said? Like, I don't really understand. And then I would follow that up and I would say, listen, you are the catalyst for every result you've ever gotten in your entire life. And then they'd look around and go, what the heck is this guy talking about? And then I would say, listen, you got to hear me, Kyle. You got to hear me. I only got 90 seconds left. You are the catalyst of every single result in your life. And I know this to be true because I know, not even, even if we've never met, I know something about you that you might not know. And what that is I know who your father is.
Yeah.
And as a child of God, the God of the universe, the God who made everything, you have in you, inherently in your DNA, the ability to create. The God of the universe was a creator, and he's passed that gene to you. So everyone wants a superpower. I'll be invisible. I'll fly. It's superhuman strength. And I'm telling you, all of those superpowers can be put to the side. The ability to create is the greatest superpower that exists on the planet. You can create a plane if you want to fly. You can create pulley systems and weight benches to make you stronger, right? You can create all of those things. Everything that you see around you in every moment of your life is a creation. It was a thought that became the word that became a thing. And you have that gift in you. So knowing your talent and your superhero ability, I challenge you to accept that you are the catalyst of all, every single result in your life, good, bad. It's because you take yourself everywhere you go.
Boom, dropped it. If you weren't watching, he just held his hand up and dropped the mic just like that. It was so good. It was so good. And he landed with the first, I mean, like, it's like he's been practicing for years or something like that. Landed with the first sentence and the last. It was great. I love it, man. I love it.
I've actually never put it that way before, but I like it. And my guess is if you look at the time, it's probably right on 2 minutes. I'm just saying.
Nailed it. He's got that 2 minute clock in his brain just tapped in. I love it. Man, that's so cool. I appreciate you jumping on. I'll do the thing. If people are looking to connect with you, what is the best way to connect with you?
Just go to glennlundy.com, man. Glennlundy.com connects to all my different social media handles, so on and so forth. Except for maybe Clubhouse. I don't think it connects to Clubhouse yet, but glennlundy.com, or just Google search Glenn Lundy. You'll find me. There's other Glenn Lundys out there, but apparently they don't care about social media or any of that stuff as much as right. I do. So just Google Glenn Lundy. You should be able to find me pretty quick. If you're looking at a white guy when you Google Glenn Lundy, it's not me. Okay, I'm brown, dude. Just so you know, for those that are listening, I'm the brown Glenn Lundy, but I'm just kidding. But glennlundy.com is the best way.
No, man, I sincerely appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing within the automotive industry and beyond. And sharing the love of the God of the universe and of Jesus Christ through the passions that you have for people. And it was so encouraging to be able to chop it up with you for a little bit today.
Man, great times, man. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Check it out.
Thanks so much for joining our conversation. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure and share it out. We can shift the culture and perception of automotive retail together. Until next time.